Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And before I get to preach today, we have a testimony. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for Tina in the service because she was in the hospital, and she asked if she could give a testimony, and so she is up now. I can't really see her, but oh, there she is. Okay. So she's coming up now, and she will give us a testimony.
Hello. Yes, before I start with my testimony, I want to read a scripture that, after I came out of the hospital, it spoke to me. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So the same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us and will quicken us. So what could ever happen, right? So yeah, you kind of know a little bit from the story. A few weeks ago on a Thursday, I started having pain in my stomach really hard, out of the blue. I had no idea what was it. And normally I deal with pain, with any pain in the morning like this. I just get up out of my bed and I just stand up and go to work, because often it's just a little attack and it just leaves when the devil knows he can't do anything about it. So that's what I did with that pain, and I just walked in faith and went to the office at my normal time and attended a meeting. Sadly, or this time it wasn't that easy, the pain didn't leave. It actually got worse over the course of the morning. So I said, okay, wisdom is also good. I go to a doctor and let it check out. And he actually then sent me to a hospital. In the meantime, Christian had already left work and accompanied me, so I wasn't on my own, which was also very helpful. And in the hospital, they didn't know what it was, so they did an ultrasound and took some blood and tested it. And in the meantime, the pain had gotten really strong, so I could only lie flat on my belly. That was the only position that really be. Otherwise, I actually, before, when I was at the doctor, the pain was so hard when I was sitting, I had to puke and I got really dizzy, so it was really heavy. I had never had something like that before. So, but in all that time when I was lying there, I was always joyful, because I know, I remembered the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:55, which is saying, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So whatever will happen with me, you know, of course I am healed, but what is the worst thing that could happen? I could die and be in heaven. I mean, there is no sting, right? The devil has nothing that he can take from me if he can't take my peace and my joy. So I was just lying there, being of good cheer, listening to some good preaching, and it was good. I mean, besides, you know, my body being a little bit funny at that moment. But I was at peace. And around 9 p.m. in the evening, they told us the results of the blood test, and they said my pancreas was infected. And actually, the numbers were totally through the roof. Normal is around 100, and I had 6,000. So it was quite heavy, actually. And they said they would keep me in the hospital and on intensive care. And I'm like, never been in a hospital besides working there. I'm like, what? What's going on? Me in the hospital, intensive care? That can't be. I was really shocked. But in an instant, I knew I was healed and I will be out of this hospital in no time, because my healing is manifesting. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in me and working in me. So whatever, you know, my body is saying, it will be healed. And a few moments later, the doctor actually told us, we were asking, you know, how long is this going to happen, and how long recovery would be taking? And he said, like, oh, 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm like, what? I have an appointment in 2 weeks. I can't be here in the hospital. And actually, when he said that, that was the moment I started laughing. I'm like, okay, devil, gotcha. I know it's you, and I'm going to be out of here in no time. And I was totally laughing. I think the doctor would have looked at me and like, huh? Why are you laughing at me saying that? But I knew more than he knew, so I could be laughing. And I knew I already had the victory. So later that evening, they brought me to intensive care, and on the next day also they did another few ultrasounds and took some more blood. And when they were looking in my belly, they're like, oh, all your organs, they look so beautiful, they're so wonderful, what's going on? How did you get that pancreatitis? And they could really find nothing. They were asking me, like, are you drinking alcohol? I'm like, no. And they were just totally puzzled. They didn't know what was going on and how that came to happen. But I was lying there and saying, I know it. I was laughing. I know what this is. It's an attack from the devil, and he has to shut down. And, you know, he has no victory in my life. So I was just laughing. The next day, on Friday, they took blood again, and actually the numbers were already lower than at 1,000. So that's not normal, you know. Normally it takes weeks for the numbers to go down. So I knew, you know, God is with me. And they put me on the normal ward, giving me liquid and a light diet, you know, soup morning, evening, blah, always soup. That was really disgusting. But, you know, on the next day, on Saturday, I already could eat bread again. It was really, I saw that my healing was progressing because the Lord, you know, his life is in me. And it got really quick. And I was totally sure that the next week I would leave to again. As I said, I have actually never been in a hospital as a patient, so I didn't really know what I needed, you know, how to be there on a ward, how do you go about things. But it was really amazing. Through those days, I realized that God had prepared everything, you know, all small details like clothes. Christian was able to help me with anything, and it was really amazing. I was lacking nothing. And I saw how in the weeks beforehand, I got some clothes and some other things, and it was really amazing. Like, God knew this was going to happen, and he made sure that I got everything before, and I kind of had fun there, really. It was not this depressing time at all. So he is faithful, and he, even if something like that happens, he knows it, and he's preparing. He's really good. So then on Tuesday, I was released because my numbers were fine again. And on the following Saturday, I could already eat again, which is absolutely not normal. But as I said, I mean, with God, this is normal. So praise be to God. He is faithful, and his promises are sure. And there was one verse that came to my mind in the days after I came from the hospital, which was Hebrews 10:38-39. And it says, but we are not of those who drive back from perdition to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And I really, I think, really, God allowed this to happen to kind of test me. Am I maturing? Am I going with him? Am I believing him no matter what's happening? And I made the decision, I don't want to draw back. I want to stand on his promises, and no matter what happens, I want to believe that he's alive in me. And my body has no right to tell me anything. His word is a higher authority. And that's all I need to know, his word. And then whatever happens, God is good, and his promises are sure.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I was, I think a couple of weeks or a few weeks ago, I told you about a testimony when I asked the Lord for money. You know, I said, Lord, I want to go to America. This is the amount I would need. So if it is your will, praise the Lord. I just threw everything out there. I know. I said, if Copeland and Hagen, you know, Copenhagen, if all those people are right, you know, just you know, this is what I would like to, you know, I ask you for it and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the next day, I got a phone call. I said, hey, you know, I have it on my heart. I just had it on my heart to give you, you know, exactly that amount that I just asked for. And one of the things I also said was, it never, ever happened again that quickly. And one of the things you'll notice is as you walk more with the Lord, as you mature in the Lord, you know, there are some things, it was like, oh, Lord, I want to have this. And it seems like, you know, money is just dropping out of the sky and things is happening. And suddenly there comes this streak where it just takes a little longer. You just go like, what's going on? What's wrong with me? You know? And maybe there's nothing wrong with you. It's just, you know, now the Lord wants you to use what you know. You know, he wants you to stand strong, stand in faith. You know, the Bible talks about a fight of faith. So, you know, but the cool thing is, at the end of the fight of faith is always victory. That's the cool thing. That's why it's a good fight. It's a good fight if you know that you've already won. And in a way, that is the fight. You know, you just stay in that attitude. No, I've already won. You know, the doctor says this. No, I've already won. You know, the pain says this. No, but I've already won. Praise the Lord. He is good. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We have been talking about the gospel, the good news, and how good the good news really is. And we found out the good news is nearly too good to be true. But it is true. It is a good news. And you know, it challenges you a little bit. I don't know about you, but when you hear that the only way we can be saved is by grace, and it is something that God has provided for us by grace because he is so good, and it's not about what we do and how good we are and how wonderful we do things, you know. It kind of goes against the flesh sometimes because we have to acknowledge that we were unfixable. We were not, we couldn't do it. No matter how hard we would have tried, we would have not been able to do it. We need a Savior. We need somebody else. That goes against flesh. That goes against pride. That goes against, oh, we are so wonderful, you know. No, we are not wonderful. God created us wonderful, but sin caused this whole mankind is under sin, and it is so far away from what God intended us to be. We needed a Savior. So, and the Bible says that God sent this Savior, and that we are saved by grace. And I want to show you something now in Ephesians 2. And it says, "And you he made alive," in verse 1, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." We were by nature children of wrath. Aren't you thankful that our nature changed? Yes. Praise the Lord, we're not children of wrath anymore. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Praise the Lord. It's by his grace. "And raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Now, "for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So it is by grace, through faith, and not of works. And we talked about that, you know, and we said, you know, the only thing, if somebody asks you, what do I need to do to be saved, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. But what about repentance? Well, we said repentance is not necessary if with repentance you mean you have to clean up your life first, right? I mean, there is a place for repentance, but the word repentance means a lot of things, and you have to make sure you got the right meaning. Because if you don't get the right meaning of the word repentance, I mean, the Bible says that God repents. In the Old Testament, it says God repented. So if it means to turn away from your sin and God repented, do you want to tell me that God just sinned? No, he didn't. All right? So repentance means several things. The Bible says God repented, and then the Bible says God is not a man that he should repent. You're like, what? Well, because repentance just means different things in different contexts, okay? So don't get it wrong. You know, we repent in a way that we turn to Jesus, you know, and turning to Jesus means that you turn your back to something. Okay, I'm not saying that, but we don't have to clean up our lives. He cleans us up. We don't have to change before he receives us. He changes us. That's the way it works. And everything else is not salvation by grace. And then it says that we are saved by grace through faith and not of works. So it's not because of our work, because of all the nice things we did. The Bible says it is by faith, by grace, but through faith. And, you know, last week at WordFest, I taught on that for an hour, longer than I've ever spoken in church. I taught on the balance between grace and faith. You know, and I said, grace alone will kill you. And faith alone will kill you. Because if the only thing there is grace, well, the Bible says it's only through faith that we can receive from that grace. So grace alone doesn't help you. But faith alone doesn't help you either, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, what would you put your faith in? It's just because God is so gracious and he has provided all this. You know, it's both of it. So it's not by grace alone. It's not by faith alone. It's by grace through faith alone. So that's the right balance, and you know we have this whole teaching, and we'll upload it to our podcast. So if you want to listen to it, you can. But I strongly encourage you to do so. And Sandra, when I say encourage you, it means do it. Okay, so just you know, a little translate. We should have a pastor's translator. Like, okay, I encourage you, do it. Okay, you know, it's a good teaching. It helps you, gives you a lot of in the Bible. You know, the Bible says Jesus was full of grace. And when he was walking in the midst of the people, sometimes there was only one person that got healed. Why? I thought it's all about grace. I thought it's grace alone. No, if it was grace alone, everybody would be healed. But it wasn't. You know, it was just one person, and it was the person, Jesus said, that had faith, that received that by grace. Anyway, good teaching. Please listen to it. But I just wanted to show you this in Acts chapter 3. I just want to make this point again that everything that God has provided by grace has to be received by faith. All right, Acts chapter 3. Now, you all know the story. You have heard the story, at least. There was this lame man that they brought to the temple every day, and he was lame from his mother's womb, and they were coming in, and they were Peter and John, and this guy looks at them, and he said he was expecting to receive something, and they said, okay, look at us. And it says, you know, he fixed their eyes on them, and they were like, they had a stare down, you know, they fixed their eyes on him, and he fixed their eyes on them. And they said, okay, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to rise up and walk. And the Bible says he did. Immediately his ankle bones received strength, it says. It says he got up, he jumped, and he was leaping, and he was praising God. Any children's songs that come to mind right now? See, he was just so happy, and everybody saw it, and they were so glad and all this. And then it says in verse 11, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, I mean, of course, I mean, he didn't just run away. He was like, okay, you healed me. You just healed me. You just healed me. You know, he said in the name of Jesus, yes, you know, but he said, you know, such as I have, I give unto you. He wanted to know more about what happened there and how it happened. And it says he held himself to Peter and John. And then it says, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? So he, from the beginning, makes it very clear the reason why this happened, the reason why this power that God provided by His grace was able to flow here, was able to effect a healing and a cure in that person. The reason why you saw this miracle is not our own power. There's a lot you can talk about that. It was not His own power, but He said, I have it and I can use it, which is interesting, right? That's what authority is, delegated power. Cool thing to teach on, but not enough time. But it says it wasn't our own power and it wasn't our own godliness. It wasn't our own holiness, another translation says. It wasn't because we were so great. It wasn't because everything in our lives is completely and 100% in order. That was not the reason why this happened. And I think that is important because sometimes that is what we think. We think that now that we are saved, in order for God to do something in our lives, in order for God's power to manifest in our lives, well, for sure, now we have to have every little thing in order for God to accept us, for God to be able to move. No, because that would mean it's through your own godliness, and it is not through your own godliness. It's not even your own power. It is still the grace of God. But the grace of God alone doesn't do it. Look at verse 16. Now he explains it, tells them about Jesus. And in verse 16, he says, and his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it was faith in the name of Jesus. It was faith in Jesus, faith in the power of his name that made this possible. Not our own godliness. Not our own holiness. Now we said that where does sin come in this whole equation? Well, we said sin does two things. Romans 6:16 and Hebrews 3:13. God did it that way so you can remember it. It's Romans 6:16 and Hebrews 3:13. It tells you that when you sin, you give your body over to the devil. And it says in Hebrews 3, it says that when you sin, you harden your heart. So sin does have an effect on our lives. It is not good. It doesn't help us. But when it comes to God and our relationship with our Heavenly Father, well, remember, sin is not imputed unto you. There is no sin account. There is no thing where your sin keeps piling up and God says, okay, until this point I can bless you, but once you cross that line, that's not true. That's not the way it is. Praise the Lord. Anyone? Somebody? Praise the Lord. That's not the way it is. This should make you jump up and just go, whoa. Well, the Bible talks about joy unspeakable. So if you can't speak it, it's not joy unspeakable. Just saying. But it's true. It's just go like, wah, wah, wah. There are no words to explain how good God is. There is no sin account. It doesn't really matter. And this is where people have problems. Well, what do you mean? It doesn't matter. No, it hardens your heart. It robs you of your confidence. When you are in sin and you know what you've done and you come to God and say, Father, I know that you've healed. No, your confidence is gone. It does affect you. But God still loves you and you're still saved and you're still the righteousness of God. And that's why he said, you know, you just come to me, you just talk to me about it, and I'll forgive you, I'll clean you. You know, you're good, you're fine. There is no sin account. I don't hold this against you because the blood of Jesus cleanses you. And the Bible says it keeps cleansing you. There is like this constant flow of the blood of Jesus. So even if there is something on you, you know, it pretty quickly, it's just washed away because you're in him and he is in you. Praise the Lord. That's grace. But everything God has provided by grace, we have to receive through faith. And it's the same here. It was the grace that God provided this power. And the way they accessed this power, what caused God's power to flow, and it doesn't matter whether it's a saving power or it's healing power or it's delivering power or whatever, or it's prospering power. The Bible talks about the power to get wealth. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what kind of power. The power that God has provided by grace, his ability, his strength, his power, his provision, it is by grace, nothing you can earn, not through your own godliness. It's not your own power, but it has to be received by faith. It has to be received by faith. That's the only requirement, but it is a requirement. God wants us to access it by faith. There are a lot of more scriptures we could turn to. We don't really have enough time. But since all of you have read Romans 5 at least 4 weeks ago, Romans 5 and 6, if you just read Romans 5 in the first two verses, It tells you about God's wonderful grace, and it tells you that it is by faith that we have access to this grace. Romans 5 and verse 2 says, by faith we have access into this grace. God's grace is so powerful. We read it in Ephesians 2 that it will take him ages, the eternities, to show us the exceeding greatness, how wonderful his grace really is. It is just so much more wonderful than we can ever imagine here in this earth. But by faith, we have access into it. By faith, we have access into it. But on the other hand, faith is the only thing that gives you access into it, not your own works. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good? I mean, it's important to live biblically. It's important to live a life that pleases God. But that is not what will cause his grace to flow in your life. It will help you receive. But it's not that God holds it back because suddenly, you know, you cross this sin line. And up until now, it kind of was okay, you know. But once you cross this, that's not true. He has forgiven you. You are forgiven. You are a child of God. And his grace is sufficient for you. So if there is any problem, all that you need to do is come to him by faith and say, Father, I receive it by faith. And faith will make that connection. Faith will cause that grace to flow in your life. It is by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think that's amazing. And you know what? We will still take the time to praise him some more for that. I refuse to not praise him for that. So I know it's a little, we have our friends waiting outside probably, you know. But it's a good thing. God is good, and he has given us his grace, and it is available to you today. And if you've never experienced his grace, if you aren't even saved, well, you can experience it today. Because he is so good. It doesn't matter how dead you are. It doesn't matter how much you are in sin. We just read it. He said, while you were in sin and while you were dead in your trespasses, he still sent Jesus to die for you because he loves you so much. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you cannot say that, you cannot say, I am redeemed because I put my faith in Jesus, because I put my faith in what he has done for me. If you're here today and that is you, we have an invitation for you. Because you can know him today. You can just come to him today and say, everything you have given to me, I believe in that. I believe you died for me. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you're Lord. You can do that today. And the Bible says you'll be saved. You will be redeemed. You will be born again. You have a new life. And the Bible says that you can have a relationship with God. Wow. There is nothing to lose but your sin. The only thing you will lose is your sin and your old life, and you will get a new life. Victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. So if that is you and you have never done that, but you want to do it today, you know, in a moment we will close the service and we'll have a team up here. Just come up here, shake our hands, say, hey, I want to take that invitation, and we'll show you a little bit more what that means. If you're here and you say, well, I am redeemed, but if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, this is something else that God has given to us by grace. The Bible says it is a free gift, a grace gift. It is that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a heavenly prayer language. So this is for you too. So if you're here and you have not received that yet, you can come up too. We would love to show you in the Word what that means. Other than that, if you have a prayer request, if you need some agreement, as usual, you know, we'll have a team up here. We would love to minister to you. Other than that, feels good to be clean, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. God is good. His grace is with you. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.